be found at www.hoeylaw, that's H-O-E-Y-L-A-W, one word, .com. And our toll-free number is 877-LAW-HOEY, L-A-W-H-O-E-Y.
Now, David, what type of cases does your firm handle?
Sure. Well, we handle a variety of cases, but about 95% of what we do is we concentrate in protecting the dignity of the elderly, particularly in a nursing home setting, against nursing home neglect, abuse, maltreatment to the elderly, injuries to the elderly, which now has included assisted living facilities, which are actually different than nursing homes. But we are seeing a lot of claims, cases, and calls regarding the assisted living industry as well.
What is the difference between an assisted living facility and say, a nursing home?
Well, the general public's idea of a nursing home versus an assisted living is the same. They think that assisted living facilities can provide skilled nursing care, like a nursing home. That's not the case. Assisted living facilities are residential type setting with rooms that have kitchenettes and a handicap type bathroom, and can have a private room, are private pay, do not accept Medicare or Medicaid reimbursement for the care that they provide, may or may not have a doctor on staff, may or may not have a skilled nursing setting. And they're unregulated, unlike a nursing home setting, which has, and we'll get into that a little bit later, which has a large number of regulations and rules that they must comply with. Assisted living is the fastest growing area for elder housing slash care in the nation right now.
What are the typical types of cases that you see in an assisted living facility?
Sure. What we see is that assisted living facilities will accept a resident into their community that actually needs skilled nursing care.
Okay.
And the other is that they will accept a resident into their community who is a candidate for assisted living, but as time goes by, their needs change and they need to go to a nursing home, but the assisted living facility hangs on to them too long and then something bad happens. The most common thing that we are seeing in assisted living facilities is elopements. And an elopement is when somebody suffering from a dementia or an Alzheimer's type a disease wanders away from the assisted living facility and gets lost.
Now, how does the assisted living facility incur liability, if you will? What are the causes of action against one of those facilities?
It's mostly misrepresentation, because there is no yet set standard of care, if you want to use a legal terminology, for assisted living. And it's those two theories I just talked about. One, they've accepted a resident that should actually be in a nursing home, or they've hung on to a person longer than they should, and something bad has happened.
And that would be something that would go through the whole court system.
That's correct.
Okay.
But since assisted living facilities are not categorized as a medical provider,
okay,
they do not have to go through the traditional medical malpractice steps. In Massachusetts, we have roadblocks in the medical malpractice world. Assisted living facility cases do not have to go that route.
Now, in terms of your typical nursing home type of case, what are the typical scenarios that you would see in terms of patients being injured in a nursing home setting?
Well, the nursing home setting is a little different. Nursing home setting is custodial care provided in a skilled setting. Nursing homes are called SNFs, S-N-F, skilled nursing facilities. And the majority of the care that is actually provided in a nursing home is by CNAs, certified nursing assistants. They're not RNs. They cannot make any diagnosis. They can just provide tasks, and they're only supposed to provide tasks of activities of daily living, washing, grooming, eating, bathing. But they're actually doing a lot more. But the most common things that I see occurring in nursing homes currently is falls with serious fractures, a lot of head traumas lately, and we're starting to see an increase in bed sores again.
Now, a bed sore is what are sometimes called decubitus ulcers?
Yeah, the medical terminology is a decubitus ulcer. In the legal profession, we call them pressure ulcers. It's unrelieved pressure on the bony parts of your body, most likely the coccyx, which is your tailbone area. But it can also happen on heels. It could also happen on your shoulders. It could also happen on your elbows. It could also happen on your hips. And it could also happen on the sides of your head and back of your head if you're left in the same position for such a long time with unrelieved pressure on those parts of your body, you can develop a bed sore. That's what the community understands it as, is a bed sore. But yes, decubitus ulcer is the medical terminology. Pressure ulcer is what we use in the legal profession. Bed sore is what the community often knows what that is.
Are they preventable in a nursing home setting?
Well, under the Medicare guidelines, there is a definition of an unavoidable pressure ulcer, and there's a definition of avoidable pressure ulcer. The majority of pressure ulcers are avoidable. There are some limited circumstances. Someone is has a terminal illness, or AIDS, cancer, severe obesity, excess of 300. Even I've seen a resident who weighed almost 500 pounds and had a pressure ulcer. Those would probably fall into the category of unavoidable, but the majority of them are avoidable.
And how are they avoidable? What steps have to be taken to avoid pressure ulcers?
One is you have to have an assessment that a resident is at risk for bed sores. The assessment then turns into a plan of care.
And who does the assessment?
The nursing staff.
Okay. David, we're going to take a break right now, but when we come back, we'll continue on with this subject. Thank you.